Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I don't know how your day is going, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. That's Worst Day Ever, the 24 Season 2 Recap Podcast. Talk about episode 13, the 8 to 9 p.m. hour here on Season 2 of 24. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined by Emily Fox. Emily Fox, we got to go. The bomb, it went off. We got to go into my secret basement. Come on, let's go.
Lucky number 13.
Get into my secret basement. Come on.
Yeah, Kim. Totally fall for this.
Would you ever fall for the secret basement trick?
Nope.
This isn't you. Couldn't be you?
I wouldn't follow a random man who I met in
Johnny
the dark.
Drama, even? You wouldn't follow him?
To his house, uh-huh. Beyond being like, great, if you have a landline and don't have a cell phone because it's 2002, then perhaps that makes sense. But like, otherwise, no.
Johnny Drama is very successful in his attempt to get Kim Bauer to stay for a sleepover. Potentially for weeks if he has his way, as he is lying to Kim about the bomb going off, because we know the bomb didn't go off because we don't even know where the frickin' bomb is.
I'm just upset for Kim.
I'm upset for Kim. I'm upset for... Who else am I upset for?
Everybody.
I'm upset for Lynn Kresge. She has to work with Sherry.
Lynn Kresge is going through a lot right now.
I'm upset for George Mason. He's bleeding through all of his clothes. Getting his hand shaken by this dude looks like, I don't want to say it.
The dry cleaner is not going to be able to get this out, but also why would they
also
need to
he's
anyway?
Not going
to
need a dry cleaner.
Yeah, he's going to not need that.
He's going to die. So I feel bad for a lot of these people. I didn't really remember much about this episode, and then the episode I was like, oh yeah, the coral snakes, six of them are dead. There's a seventh. The seventh coral snake, friend of yours.
I just love how all of their sleeves are like very conveniently rolled up to like show
their little snake tattoo on their forearm. Yeah, their snake tattoos. What I love is that their little snake tattoo on their forearm, which Jack Bauer once called very distinct and very specific, basically just looks like, do you remember Petunia from Pete and Pete?
Yeah.
Little Pete has Petunia the tattoo. It's like it was from the same tattoo parlor.
Can you say tattoo again?
Tattoo. Yeah, they've got the little snake tattoos, these little petunias.
Oh my God.
On their arm.
Petunias.
So we are officially halfway through, past the halfway mark as of last week. We got up to it. Now we're on the other side of it. Nuclear bomb still in play. There's a moment in this episode where it looks like maybe it's going to be taken out of play.
It's not.
Are you surprised that it remains an active deal?
No, because we're halfway through the season. So of course you're not going to just like deactivate a bomb and be like, well, let's figure this out. What else? Like, what other loose ends do we have to tie up?
It's not unlike 24 to resolve a storyline halfway through the season. I mean,
like,
think about the gains of it all.
This is the main storyline, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Story.
It would be a different story if it was like, oh, we figured out that Sherry's the bad guy and we dismissed her immediately, which, like, I would expect is on the horizon. Or we found Kim.
It's
going
to be kind of hard for David to abide Sherry after this revelation, you would think.
I'm so tired of this. I'm literally exhausted.
How are you feeling about 24 season 2 just generally right now? A little tired? It's okay to admit it if you are. It's dragging a little, huh?
It's very derivative.
I don't think it's unfair to say it's dragging a little.
A little. I don't know. I think that like the concept is cool. It's really, really hard to capture every single hour of a day without being like, oh, there are some lulls.
Yeah, try and some lulls on the podcast, right? LOLZ. Because we're laughing out loud.
But naturally, like, that's how everyone's life is.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to expect that to be the same way, you know, with, like, you know, art imitating life, I guess.
An Emily Fox 24 season would be dope.
Yeah, right. Where I'm just like cleaning all the time.
It'd
and like
be
cooking.
Great. You got so much to do.
Everyone's like, wow, she got a lot done today.
Yeah, I cleaned a full bathroom. You painted it.
Yeah, I painted a full bathroom.
You make a 20 course meal.
I made 5 meals for somebody.
We spend a solid
drop it off for them.
We spend a solid 4 to 5 hours watching back to back Al Pacino movies. That's a really solid
Honestly,
run of episodes.
It sounds like a great day
it's
to follow.
Pretty good. Yeah. All right, I guess we should talk about the episode of 24 that we're here to discuss.
I suppose.
It begins with Tony calling Jack, and Jack is 10 minutes away from this airfield, which was 30 miles away from where he was at the end of last time on 24 in episode 12.
Made great time. Always makes great time in LA.
They really have to, in the universe of 24, traffic really cannot be an actual thing.
Which is why it should be set in like somewhere that doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Like Montana.
Maybe.
Canada.
So Tony's saying, yeah, by the way, still don't know where Kim is. And Jack's like, damn it. Why? Why isn't she contacting us?
Because she thinks she's an idiot.
She's a murder suspect and she's not going to call us.
No, because she's stupid.
She's with Lonnie. Lonnie Drama.
It makes
the Kevin
zero
Dillon
sense.
Character. Do you like that his name is Lonnie? Lonnie Drama. and he's like, oh, your foot, it really hurts, huh? We got to get you to a doctor. I don't know why I'm turning into Teddy Hanlon.
No, that's not his voice.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, we're at my cabin. Why don't you come on in? So she's going to go on in. There's like rifles all over the walls. There's clean towels. Go take a shower. I'll make
There's
us some soup.
There's rifles all over the walls and clean towels. Is that what you just
That's
said?
That's what I said. I'm not wrong.
He's
I
got like
the scene.
Cougar stew on the 2000 fire.
2000 degrees. Yeah, there's cougar stew on the fire. She's going to get a nice hot meal out of this thing, whether she wants it or not.
I think she's going to get more than a nice hot meal if she's not careful.
Look who's ready to talk. Roger Stanton. Well, well, well. Sustained enough shocks to the face, I suppose, that you're ready to talk.
Honestly, he looks pretty good considering the fact that he took that many
hits.
You
know, it's only now, Emily, that I'm realizing that it is now Roger Stanton who was given the chair.
That's what I said.
With the electric shocks.
That's what I said.
And so he's like, yeah, so listen, I definitely have been tracking this nuclear bomb. Absolutely. But don't worry, we've got this team, Coral Snake, that's tracking the bomb for every single step, and we're going to take it out of play in the last possible moment. David Palmer literally goes, why? What are you trying to do? Why would you do something like that? Roger Stanton says,
we're trying to make a TV show, yeah. Season 2 of 24, don't you get it?
It's not going to write itself, David. David says, are you trying to hijack my presidency? And Stanton, who believes his defense policy is too passive, says, no.
Pretty much.
But I'd like to give it some balls. Ugh. It's his line. Harris Yulin's a great actor.
Yeah, but I think
great role in Ozark.
I think in a lot of ways this is mirroring a lot of American foreign policy of this era of like, yeah, we gotta like say that we're not gonna like we're just gonna go after everybody and screw this and da 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 and like
this show is 20 years old and yet. Right. So Jack gets this call from George, whose arm is looking the bad. He's wrapping it up in gauze because it's covered in scars and radioactive nonsense.
No, he's like disintegrating.
He's falling apart.
Yeah.
Emotionally, physically, literally. And he's telling him about Coral Snake. And Jack's like, oh, I know about Coral Snake. Shit. Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to go
in. What if George was the seventh and he had the tattoo on his arm, but it just disintegrated off of his arm?
Yeah. Well, that would be wild. That'd be a great
twist.
Isn't
that kind of a brilliant twist?
Yeah, it'd be a great...
As you're like, Emily, we have to stop the podcast real quick. Here comes in our sponsor. And then you're like,
Emily
you
just called
blew
it.
It.
You just blew it. You called it. You called it that George Mason currently dying is
the seventh coral snake.
And it's revealed as the petunia snake tattoo falls off of his rotting
forearm.
He
jumped in and got like the real radiation as he was like, move the real bomb. We got to send it this other way.
So Marie Warner.
Huh. Wow. You're just like yada yada your way through this. Interesting.
Marie Warner is talking to this second wave terrorist. And she says, hey, do you think I could get out of here? And so he's like, yeah, if you leave now. He's like, okay, well, bye. And she's about to hit the road. But the cops are here at Norton Airfield and you're not going anywhere, Marie. Mm. So she's not able to just run away. She's stuck here like the rest of us. So Jack tells Kate, hey, Kate, you're going to have to chill here too. Because if we find Marie and we need you to talk to her, like we're just going to keep finding reasons to keep you on the show. She's like, oh, okay.
What does Kate say? Jack, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's happening?
What's happening, Jack? Let me ask you a question. Gut check. Mm-hmm. Terry Bauer or Kate Warner?
I pick Terry every
day. Wow, yeah. I think that's the right choice. I do think that's the right call.
Terry was likable.
If you go back and listen to the podcast, Emily, I'm not so sure that's your take.
She had friends. She had people that watched out for
okay,
her.
Okay, you're talking in-universe
yeah,
likable.
In the universe.
Okay. It's an important distinction,
yeah.
I think.
Kate doesn't have anyone vouching for her at all.
Jack Bauer's vouching for Kate. And guess who's vouching for...
Yeah, because she's a needed asset in certain like aspects.
Jack Bauer's teaming up with Steve Goodrich, this all-American hero with the butt chin, who's like, yeah, I'm just going to run stuff over here. We're going to be all over the airport. The Jack Bauer storyline for the last little while has either been unsavory or wheel spinny. I feel like this one's a wheel spinny Jack Bauer episode where it's literally just Jack and a bunch of dudes
like
running all over the airport yelling damn it a lot. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's basically it.
That's fair.
So George and Tony are talking at CTU. It turns out that division, which lords over CTU, I still don't really understand the hierarchy. Brad Hammond is coming down. He wants to shut us down. He doesn't like that we're operating out of a bombed out office. And you know what? I get that.
They
were bombed earlier in the day. Maybe they could just, get at least the rest of the night off. Couldn't they have been prepping a second shift?
Couldn't they be working from home?
Kim Bauer has showered. So fresh, so clean. She feels a lot better now after the Kim Bauer shower hour. And she sits down for dinner with Lonnie Drama, who has made chili. He's working the block. He has cranberry juice as well. I believe that's ocean spray.
I just don't understand this.
Get Kim a cranberry juice.
Also, Kim has like lesions. I don't know how
she's
got
been
them.
Through a lot.
No, she hasn't.
She has not been through as much as others in the show.
She looked fine when she was running through the canyon.
She almost got eaten by a cougar, but now who has the last laugh is she is not just eating a bowl of cougar chili, but she's like, she wants a heaping bowl. She has, so first of all, you notice Lonnie's got great bowls. His kitchenware.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, for somebody who's like a doomsdayer, he really has like decent, ceramic ware.
Yeah, he invested.
He looks like somebody who went to Crate and Barrel before he decided to lock down, which, you know, I have respect for personally.
Freaking Kim Bauer's like, oh, yeah, so you want to know why I don't want to go back to L.A.? There's a nuclear bomb. And he's like, I knew it. And Kim, what did your dad say? Don't tell anyone. She's told so many people. So there's a nuclear bomb.
He's this, like, is sort of like
just
telling...
Just read the foreign papers. The whole world hates America.
This is like knew telling somebody happen. That there's a shortcut through the valley that you know. Oh, and you're going to share it.
Good, Emily.
And don't
Very
tell anybody
funny.
Else.
Very funny.
And like that's how this news spreads.
Lonnie says, I want to show you something, but you can't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I promise I won't. Fingers crossed. He says, I'll show you after we eat these huge, huge, enormous bowls of cougar chili. Palmer learns that Roger Stanton was working with a bunch of senators, it seems like. I don't know. It was a little foggy on the details here. Either way, it seems like Sherry Palmer will be an asset, so bring her in. And both Lynn and Mike are like, don't really want Sherry here.
And he's like, I don't want you to question me.
He says, don't question me now.
Yeah.
David Palmer, a little bit off the rails, no?
A little bit.
Maybe a little off the rails at this point.
Well, he's thrown by the day.
He's thrown by the day. Who isn't at this point? Mm. Randy Murdoch is still trying to figure out the paper pulp. he just has not gotten to the bottom of the paper pulp. And Tony and Michelle are freaking out about how division is coming and they're going to yank George and it's all going to be a disaster.
Tony's still trying to figure out like Michelle's likes and dislikes.
They're still just like kind of vibing at each other. Now every single forlorn look between them, it's so loaded.
I know.
The tendrils.
Where he keeps being like, do you like your steak medium, medium rare?
Yeah, because I'm going to take you for a nice steak dinner after this, all right?
Do you like sushi?
Do you know what I like to say before I eat a steak? I say moo moo.
What?
It's
Ew.
What it's what I say, Michelle. You're going to have to accept the whole thing. You're going to want to date me.
I'm out. I'm out on this. Never mind.
When I eat a steak, they call me Tony Almuda. I don't know where it came from. Jack
please.
Bauer discovers six dead coral snakes. Colonel Samuels' men, they're dead. So if they're dead, who's tracking the bomb?
A six-piece chicken bucket is dead.
Oh, no.
Colonel Sanders is to blame.
The full bucket. George Mason has changed his clothes. He's wearing fully clean clothes now because he's been bleeding through his previous suit and tie. He comes and meets Brad Hammond, who's getting the tour from Tony, and he goes to shake Brad Hammond's hand, and Brad Hammond gives him like the like frat bro handshake of grabbing his forearm as well, and you can see George Mason wince, and you can see later that he's bleeding through his jacket sleeve, but he tries to put on a brave face here. He's like, I'm fine, ow, but he's trying to pump up CTU. We've got this. We're going to be okay
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, at Lonnie Drama's cabin, he takes Kim down. I would call this a nefarious spiral staircase. This is like the spiral staircase leading into the underground layer of a Bond villain.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Like a fourth-rate Bond villain, but a Bond villain nonetheless.
Correct.
And this is a bomb shelter that it took him 2 years to dig out. There's tons of equipment. There's guns. There's knives. There's gas masks. And there's so much coffee.
There's like grenades and stuff too.
The coffee is really the thing, Emily. Lonnie
says. His favorite
says,
smell in the world.
He says, I'm kind of a coffee junkie. I can handle anything, but I gotta have my Java. And then you see him as Kim is looking around the bunker. You hear him as you like see him in like the corner of the screen sniffing a huge ground bean. And he goes, that's my favorite smell. That's a line from the show. That's not an improv for the podcast. Johnny Drama, Kevin Dillon, Lonnie Drama takes a big whiff of coffee beans and says, that's my favorite smell. Great line. 24. She gets claustrophobic, leaves. He chases after her. What are you doing? She's like, well.
Maybe this was a mistake because I'm a freaking idiot.
You're a stranger and it's like you'll have to forgive me, but my stranger danger is askew. And it took me a while. And I think I should go and find Aunt Carol. You know Aunt Carol, the Ferragamo of season 2 of 24. Certainly not at Ferragamo levels, but it's the return of the specter of Aunt Carol, at least. And he says, okay, all right, I'll show you out. I'll take you there whenever you want to go. Sherry Palmer has been given access to the OC. And Lynn Kresge is there to meet her. And they get into a little bit of a fight on the elevator where Sherry's like, don't play games with me, Lynn. Just tell me that you're trying to position yourself between me and David. And Lynn says, you're right. I don't like you, and I don't like you being here. And Sherry's like, well, now we're talking, Lynn. Now we can go somewhere from here.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Fox loved this. You said, Lynn Kresge coming in for the crunch.
Yes.
You called this a toothsome tell-off.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
I was really pleased for her.
Lynn Kresge sticking up for herself.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the cabin, Kim Bauer, with that freshly showered, slicked back hair, is ready to walk into the night with Lonnie to get back to the highway and find Aunt Carol when the park ranger shows up and tells Lonnie, hey, I'm looking for someone who's wanted for kidnapping and murder. Do you have company? Because I see you've got a second glass of cranberry juice on the table. And Lonnie says, no, Doug came by earlier, and Doug the cat just came by my desk. He was in the plants.
Yeah, now he's next to me.
Okay.
Chewing on a stick.
He's hanging out. And so Lonnie comes back inside and goes to Kim, kidnapping? Murder? And she goes, I swear I didn't do it. And he goes, good enough for me. At 8:42, we find David and Sherry in the hallway, and he wants Sherry to track down any meetings between Roger Stanton, Eric Rayburn, and senators to see if she can get to the...
Is that how he says it?
No, that's how I said it. Okay. To get to the bottom of the stuff. And then Mike Novak shows up. Oh, God, David. Oh, geez. The Coral Snake soldiers are dead. All six men on the team dead. We haven't found the bomb. David Palmer blitzes into the room with Roger Stanton. He says, your insane plan backfired, Roger. But you're misguided, not crazy. You didn't want the luxury condo, but that's because you were holding out for a better deal. You don't want the bomb to go off. And he says, somebody killed six trained commandos. Who did it? And he goes, you said six? There was a seventh. Mm-hmm. And then 24 does this sound cue that it does sometimes when it wants to clue you in to, like, you missed a reveal if you didn't pay attention. So he goes, there was a seventh. And the sound cue goes, oh. It's something like that. It's something like that. You know what I mean?
Like HBO?
Yeah, they go, oh. It's definitely not it.
That is not.
It's a bad impression, but listen for
it. It's like the most unnuanced way to be like, wake up.
There's like a noise that the show
Look
makes.
Up from your phone.
It's like, oh shit, I missed something. Hey, by the way, Randy
Murdoch. Rewind.
Randy Murdoch figured it out. I figured out the pulp paper. Finally, by the way, I looked it up. You never see Randy Murdoch again. He figures out the pulp paper. We never see him again. This is why I forgot Randy Murdoch. So his job well done. Good job, Randy Murdoch.
Well played.
They give Jack Bauer the information. The number belongs to a plane that's in a hangar that Tony Almeida identifies as Mama Delta 7. So they're going to rush to Mama Delta 7. Jack Bauer is going to like ride through the moon roof of a Hummer.
As one does.
And shoot at the lone survivor of the second wave truck who is now flying a plane. This dude's been in vehicles all day. And he's going to try and fly and carry out the plan to blow up this bomb over downtown Los Angeles when Jack Bauer, so good at his job sometimes, shoots the wheel of the plane and even wings the driver. Shoots him. The pilot has been hit. The pilot has been hit. Hands up. Meanwhile, Marie Warner was sneaking around this place, too, and they haven't found her yet.
No.
How's that going to
shake out? It must be because she's wearing a wig.
They would not be able to recognize her.
She's like the poor man's Anna Faris.
Kate's too. I don't think that that's a hot take. I think people have said that before.
It's a probably very lukewarm take considering this show is 20 years old.
It's also probably true. But I remember conflating the two of them. Mm-hmm. I think that is she in the faculty?
No.
Is that right? Is that right?
I don't know. You tell me.
Laura Harris. Yep.
Wow.
She is. She's in the faculty in which she plays Mary Beth Louise Hutchinson.
Wow. Give
I haven't
her one
seen
more
the faculty
name.
Before.
You haven't?
No, never.
All right, we're going to watch that after
Are
this.
We going to watch that after we record this?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess we will probably not record the next episode of the show.
The faculty's next.
Probably another like 3 weeks from and this then we'll moment. Watch so apologies in advance. The next podcast will probably be very disjointed
we'll watch
from this one.
The faculty, and then we'll watch Disturbing Behavior.
Okay, we will not remember to tell you how all of that went in the next podcast. You'll have to reach out and ask us.
Yes.
At Round Howard, at Emlet. Okay, we're getting close to the end of the wire.
All right.
George Bass is just coughing a lot. Johnny Drama lies to Kim. Says, listen to the radio. Oh my God. The bomb went off.
As like the radio's turned off.
Yeah, he just turned the radio off. But Kim puts the headphones on and she goes, oh my God. And you hear, oh,
She's so stupid.
It's the 24 noise.
She is so stupid. How could she be born to parents who both have like deep analytical skills and like sharp like common sense? I don't get it.
Talking about a flash. We got to go to the bomb shelter right now. So she goes down to the bomb shelter with him. But then we cut to a beautiful night in downtown Los Angeles as we near the 9 o'clock hour. Yeah. And we come to find out that the nuclear bomb team is analyzing this thing that they've retrieved from the plane. It is a decoy. There's traces of plutonium, but the bomb has been removed from it, and we don't know where it is. So everyone is very upset about this, including David Palmer, who comes to Roger Stanton and says, "If there's anything you haven't told me yet, now would be the time to tell me." And he says, "Ask Sherry. Yep. She's the one to talk to."
I was wondering when he would break.
So he's broken, and now Sherry Palmer has been outed by Roger Stanton to David Palmer, and I guess we're going to see how that's going to go. Emily Fox, letter grade for this episode of 24.
We give her an A-.
So we're back up from the B+.
Yes.
But we're still in like one of the lower tier scores for an Emily
Kim's
Fox.
So stupid.
That's really it?
Yeah. She just makes such bad decisions.
It's mostly on Kim.
For this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I just have to go with my gut on this.
It's fair. You got to go with your gut. No one could ask you to do anything else. So what we're going to do is, I guess, we're going to go watch The Faculty right now. We're not podcasting about it, but you can add us at Round Howard, at Emlet. You can talk to us in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. March 1st, right around the corner. Perfect time to sign up. That's my birthday month. Give me the birthday present of becoming a patron of Post Show Recaps. We'll see you on the next episode of Worst Day Ever. Regardless, until then, everybody, take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News and World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.